Our primary text this morning will be in Job chapter 42, but I want us to start in Job chapter 38 first. So turn to Job 38. Let's pray. Father, we ask as we look into your word now that you would give us great insight, for these are deep waters and we need your insight. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak through your word. Lift up spirits. Meet us wherever we might be. Some of us are going through great times in life. Some of us are going through very difficult times in life. Meet us. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. As those of you who have been with us know, Job is going through much, much pain in the book of Job. Great tragedy has struck his life. In a matter of days, he lost his wealth. He lost 10 kids. He lost his health. And as I mentioned last week, the most difficult part about his struggle was that during that time of suffering, he felt as though God was MIA, missing in action. He couldn't sense God. And over and over and over, he asked, God, where are you in my suffering? Where are you in my pain? I can't see you. When are you going to make sense of all this? And he, even in his pain, he begins to push it. He even begins to accuse God of being unfair, accusing God of being indifferent. He even starts to sort of challenge whether God is as powerful as he thought. And you can understand Job's frustration with the Lord, because in the first 37 chapters of the book of Job, from Job's perspective, God is completely silent. God doesn't speak a word to Job during the first 37 chapters. Not one single word. Job is doing all the talking. He's asking all the questions, freaking out, trying to understand. Job has friends who are trying to make sense of it all. But not one word from God until chapter 38. In chapter 38, God shows up. And he speaks. And boy, does he speak. You might even be a little surprised by what God says. Look at verse 1, chapter 38. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you. And you shall answer me. Notice, when the Lord shows up, he comes in a whirlwind, a storm. He speaks to Job out of a storm. Job's whole life at that point was a storm. Everything was turned upside down. In fact, remember, it was a whirlwind that caused the roof on one of his son's houses to collapse, killing the 10 kids. Interesting that in this storm of life, Job sees the Lord in a storm. God speaks from a storm. And God says, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, who is this that has no clue about what he's talking about? How would you like God to greet you that way? They've been trying to make sense of the suffering. Everyone's talking. What's going on here? And, you know, they've come up with their ideas. And the Lord shows up and says, you don't know what you're talking about. And he says, you wanted me to speak, so I'm now going to speak. But before I start to speak, let me warn you, prepare yourself like a man. man up. And then he does something very odd, something that we don't expect. At the end of verse 3, he says, I will question you, and you will answer me. Now that's odd, because who has all the questions? Job. Job's got all the, why am I suffering? Why is this happening? He might even be asking that famous question, how could a loving God allow bad stuff to happen to me? And you would think that when God shows up, he would sit down at the table with Job and they'd take out this list of questions and work through it one by one, and God would give specific answers to all of his specific questions. But remarkably, God never answers any of those questions. Instead, God asked Job questions. Over the next four chapters, 70 questions. God, instead of answering Job's question, says, Job, come with me. We're going to go on a walk. We're going to go on a field trip. I'm going to escort you around the universe. And we're going to look at different aspects of my creation. And I'm going to ask you questions about that. Let's look at a few samples of that. Look at verse 4, God speaking to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know, Job. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Job, how did this all get here? Who hung the globe in space? Who measured it all out? Tell me about that, Job. Do you know? Do you know anything about? Oh, no, you don't. That's right, because you... But I was there at the beginning. I made it. I designed it. Verse 8, he says, or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. Job, you occupy a planet that has land and lots of water, lots of oceans. How is it that the oceans don't overtake the land? How is it that the waves stop? Can you explain that to me, Job? No, you can't. I can. I made it. I designed it. I created it. You go back down to verse 19, and I love this. He says, where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home? Do you know it because you were born then, Job, or because the number of your days is great? Verse 24, by what way is light diffused? Or the east wind scattered over the earth. I love that. Job, let's talk about light. How did it come about? Where is its source? Where does darkness go when you turn light on? How is light diffused? Even today, scientists, we don't know, is light a particle or is it a wave or is it both or is it something that we've never even discovered yet? Job says, God says, Job, describe light to me. Oh, you can't. Oh, I created it. I was there at the beginning. Goes on, verse 25. Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water or a path for the thunderbolt? There he says, let's talk about the weather pattern. Do you understand it? Why it rains in the desert, how it all works, where the snow comes from. Well, we might understand a little bit about it, but what he's asking, Job, can you control it? Can you control? Oh, no, you can't. Because I created it, I designed it. I know. Verse 31, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season, or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Those are all constellations. I says, Job, look up in the stars. Look at the constellations. Look at the order of the universe. Look at how the universe works and the stars, and they come out and they form constellations. Tell me about that, Job. Do you understand that, Job? You figure that one out, Job. No, you can't. Cosmology, geography, oceanography, meteorology, astronomy, optics, the water cycle. Let's talk, Job. You understand these things? Then he moves on to biology, paleontology, zoology. Verse 39, Job, can you hunt the prey for the lion? Verse 41, who provides food for the raven? Verse 1 of chapter 39, do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Can you mark when the deer gives birth? Verse 5, let's talk about the wild donkey. Verse 9, Job, tell me about the wild ox. Verse 13, let's talk about the ostrich and how fast it runs, and the peacock and the color of its wings. Verse 19, the horse. Verse 26, the hawk. Verse 27, the eagle. There's a brief intermission in their field trip in chapter 40. Verse 1 says, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. All right, Job. You want a question? You want a rebuke? You want to correct? Correct away. Job answers in verse 3, verse 4. Behold, I am what? Vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer, yet twice, but I will proceed no further. I got nothing to say. I put my hand over my mouth. The Lord says, okay, then let's continue the tour. Verse 6, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Then in verse 15 of chapter 40, he says, look now at the behemoth, which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See how his strength is in his hips and his power is in his stomach muscle. The behemoth, this is an interesting, we're not sure what this is. A giant land creature. It's described as this huge beast that at one point existed on the earth, perhaps in the day of Job. Some have said this is a hippopotamus. Some have said it's an elephant or a mammoth. I am more inclined to believe it's one of the dinosaurs. A mighty animal. Some animal that struck terror in the hearts of men when Job was on the planet some 4,000 years ago. God says, hey, you see that animal? Can you tame it? Can you control it? I can. I made it. Verse 1 of chapter 41. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line? Which you lower. This is some giant sea creature. Skip over to verse 30. Speaking of this creature, his undersides are like sharp potsherds. His spreads, pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think that the deep had white hair. Again, nobody's really sure about what this Leviathan thing is. Some would say a blue whale, giant crocodile, great white shark. Something back in the days of Job that was huge. I think another sea dinosaur sort of beast. And God says, hey, can you go fishing for that? Can you drop a line in? Can you snare it? Can you control it? What is God doing here? He's saying, Job, I see you right now in your pain, and I know you're hurting, and you're all filled with grief, and you've got all of these questions. But listen, let me take you outside of your life here, and let's take a walk. Let's look at everything in creation. Look at that. I made that. Did you make that? Look at that. I did that. Can you do that? Look at that. I know that. Do you know that? Job, I did that and that and that and that and that and that. I made this and this and this. I know this and this and this and this. I know you're struggling. But I want to remind you in your struggle right now, God would say to Job, Job, let me remind you, there is a big difference between you and me. I'm God, you're not. I'm the creator, you are the created creature. Job, are you in a position where you can question what I do or why I do it? Are you in a position where you can question my power and my purpose? Are you in a position where you can rebuke me? No, you're not. I'm God, you're not. And there's something really tender going along here too. God is saying, Job, look at my majesty, look at my power, look at my omnipotence, look at my omnipresence, look at my omniscience. Look at this universe that I created, that I designed, that I'm running. Trust me. Trust me. Though you may not get every answer to every question right now in this life, Job, trust me. You know, it's interesting, as readers of the book of Job, we see the answers, don't we? We understand why Job suffered. We've read about the conversation that took place in heaven between God and Satan over Job. And remember, Job never knew that was going on. God was proving Satan wrong through Job's suffering. And remember that God was also providing Job as a man who would be one of the greatest examples to his people for the next 4,000 to 5,000 years. Because Job suffers greatly, but remember, he makes it through. And I don't think there's any one of us who, in any time of suffering in our life, could say, man, I had it worse than Job. Even though we go through very difficult times. The suffering of Job would be used by the Lord in a mighty way. In fact, James chapter 5 says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But Job didn't get those answers at that time. I'm sure he has them now, but at that time. God says to Job, trust me. Trust me in the midst of this. My brother and sister in Christ, there are going to be times in life when that's all you can do. Do you understand? There are going to be times when you go through suffering and pain and you have questions and you cannot figure it out. And at those times, God is going to be there for you, but you just have to trust him. He doesn't come and sit down at the table with you and answer all of your questions. We need to appreciate and remember what is told in Isaiah chapter 55. God says in Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, the Lord makes everything beautiful in its time. He has also put eternity in our hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. You see, God has created us with eternity in our hearts, this longing for something way bigger than what we know here. This longing. Even as Christians, we have that longing. Right now, God has the key. We cannot figure it all out right here. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, we now see in a what? Mirror, dimly. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Folks, that's the way it is right now. There will be those times in life where you don't have any questions. You don't have, well, you have lots of questions. You don't have the answers. And you must trust God through it. And never forget what we're promised in Romans 8. We know that in all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. We may not see answers. We may not get it. We can't figure it out. But we have to trust God who is running the show, who does have a plan, and it will be good. Easy to say, hard to do, huh? I think that's why the Lord said, prepare yourself like a man. Man up. Well, let's see how Job responds to all of this. Look at verse 1 of Job chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from me. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Here's my answer to all these questions, Lord. Verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job got it. Job's repenting. He's saying, "I know you can do everything. Lord, I'm so sorry. I was questioning your power. I was questioning your ability to move and do what I wanted you to do in my life. I'm sorry." He says, "Lord, your purpose will not be thwarted. I was questioning your purpose in my life." Forgive me, I'll submit. Job says, "I thought I was a lot smarter than I was, but I was not speaking right. I repent." You know what, Lord? I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to hold on to you. It seems that that little tour of creation really helped Job. And just as a side note, I might suggest that as something that you might do when you go through a hard time in life. Take a walk on the beach. Of course, if here you'll have to take a long drive first, or you'll have to take a flight. But get away, go to a beach. Go look at those ocean waves. Take a walk. Go to Rio Doso. Take a walk in the mountains. Get outside somewhere where you can get away from all the city lights and look up in the stars. Look at the universe. Look at God's creation. Go to the zoo. Take a look at God's creatures. And though you can't figure out what's going on in your life right now, you know there's a God who is running the universe, and he is running your life. And trust him. Hold on to him. Some of you may have noticed that the title of our message this morning is Fruits of Suffering, Intimacy. And you think, okay, well, how did you get that? Well, the last several weeks, we've been talking about the good things that can come out of suffering. Fruits of suffering. We've discovered that in a time of intense suffering, you can gain wisdom. That you wouldn't be able to get any other way apart from suffering. We also talked last week about how seasons of suffering build character in our lives. Well, here's the other thing, man. Those times of suffering will increase your intimacy with God. God will meet you there. Let me tell you, in life, your greatest encounters with God will come during the whirlwind, when he speaks to you out of the whirlwind. Verse 5 is absolutely key. Look what Job says. "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." He says, "Lord, before this huge trial, before all this happened, I heard you. I'd heard you. But now through all of this, I see you. My intimacy with you has increased. I know you. You've met me. I experience you greater." Intimacy. Job discovers something here. He says, "You know what? Lord, you haven't given me the answers to my questions. Instead, you have become the answer. You are my answer. It's you. In those times of suffering, we will discover the same things. We will learn wisdom in ways like we can't. Our character will be built. And as Christians, the Lord is going to meet us there. Now, some of these trials can feel like the first 37 chapters, right? Where are you? Maybe you're in chapter 31, 32, 33. Hey, listen, let me encourage you. 38's coming. God will meet you in a way that will blow your mind and change you for all of eternity. God will meet you. Hang on, hold on. In our times of suffering, we will all discover the answers to our questions. Well, we'd like to have them, but what we'd like more is the answer, God Himself. Intimacy, do you know that's the whole purpose of life? Did you know that you were created to have an intimate relationship with your Maker, God? That's the whole point of life. To know God, to have a relationship with Him. When I think of Christmas, that word intimacy pops up. I mean, the great prophecy concerning the Lord. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Intimacy. God left heaven. God's Son left heaven to become one of us. He knows what life is. He knows pain and suffering. God sent His Son Jesus to pay the price for our sins. God the Son, Jesus, gave His life for our sins and rose again the third day. He paid the price so that our sins could be removed and so that we could come into an intimate relationship with God. A relationship that is filled with joy. A relationship with the God that you can enjoy right now and that will even grow stronger, perhaps strongest, in the most difficult times of your life here. Because He'll never leave you or forsake you. And that relationship continues into the next life. Intimacy. Provided in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, so much to think about right now. First, Lord, I want to pray for those right here who are hurting desperately. There are many. God, I pray that You would minister to them. I pray that You would bless them. I pray, God, that Your presence would be with them, that they would encounter You in a beautiful, wonderful way. Lord. Comfort those that are hurting. Father, we want to thank You this morning for the gift of salvation. The grace that you've poured out upon our lives. Lord, knowing that we live in a world that has a lot of pain in it, a lot of destruction, we know that you have come to save it, and you have. We thank you for Jesus, precious Son of God, Lamb of God sent from heaven, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for the price that was paid. Father, right now I want to pray for anyone here who has not received you, has not come into a relationship with God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've considered yourself very religious. I'm not asking you to join a religion. Do you have a relationship with the living God? The living God. It is possible through faith in Christ Jesus. All of your sins need to be washed away, and he's paid the price for that to happen. The Bible says if you receive him as your Lord and Savior, all your sins will be washed away, and you will become a son or daughter in the family of God. For all of eternity. I invite you right now to receive him. Say this prayer with me in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you right now to be my Savior. I receive you into my life. I acknowledge my sins before you. I confess them. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for paying the price. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my King. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to walk with you all the days of my life. Use my life in a mighty way to bring others into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.